Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the morning segment of the Tuesday, December 13th episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I am Wayne Floyd, your host. And we are going to go ahead and jump right into it. I'm going to go ahead and start from the beginning and apologize to you if I do any coughing. My wife has had some kind of coughing virus, bug, whatever, since back Wednesday, Thursday, Friday last week. And I've started this last evening starting to feel some coughing coming on. So I will do my best not to cough constantly at you. I may have to take more breaks to drink water and whatever to continue on, but let's go ahead and jump straight into it. So we are going to start, like is our practice on Tuesday mornings, with the third day morning prayer, God, Creator and Controller. Most High God, the universe with all its myriad creatures is thine, made by thy word, upheld by thy power, governed by thy will. But thou art also the Father of mercies, the God of all grace, the bestower of all comfort, the protector of the saved. Thou hast been mindful of us, hast visited us, preserved us, given us a goodly heritage, the Holy Scriptures, the joyful gospel, the Savior of souls. We come to thee in Jesus' name, make mention of his righteousness only, plead his obedience and sufferings, who magnified the law both in its precepts and penalty, and made it honorable. May we be justified by his blood, saved by his life, joined to his spirit. Let us take up his cross and follow him. May the agency of thy grace prepare us for thy dispensations. Make us willing that thou shouldst choose our inheritance. Determine what we shall retain or lose, suffer or enjoy. If blessed with prosperity, may we be free from its snares and use, not abuse, its advantages. May we patiently and cheerfully submit to those afflictions which are necessary when we are tempted to wander, hedge up our way, excite in us abhorrence of sin, wean us from the present evil world. Assure us that we shall at last enter Emmanuel's land, where none is ever sick, and the sun will always shine. Amen. All right. And now our Tuesday morning, it's actually our December 13th morning devotional. The text for it is Ezra 7:22, salt without prescribing how much. Salt was used in every offering made by fire unto the Lord, and from its preserving and purifying properties, it was the grateful emblem of divine grace in the soul. It is worthy of our attentive regard that when Artaxerxes gave salt to Ezra the priest, he set no limit to the quantity. And we may be quite certain that when the King of Kings distributes grace among his royal priesthood, the supply is not cut short by him. Often are we straitened in ourselves, but never in the Lord. He who chooses to gather much manna will find that he may have as much as he desires. There is no such famine in Jerusalem that the citizens should eat their bread by weight and drink their water by measure. Some things in the economy of grace are measured, for instance, our vinegar and gall are given us with such exactness that we never have a single drop too much. But of the salt of grace, no stint is made. Ask what thou wilt, and it shall be given unto thee. Parents need to lock up the fruit cupboard and the sweet jars, but there is no need to keep the salt box under lock and key, for few children will eat too greedily from that. A man may have too much money or too much honor, but he cannot have too much grace. When Jeshurun waxed fat in the flesh, he kicked against God, but there is no fear of a man's becoming too full of grace. A plethora of grace is impossible. More wealth brings more care, but more grace brings more joy. Increased wisdom is increased sorrow, but abundance of the Spirit is fullness of joy. Believer, go to the throne for a large supply of heavenly salt. It will season thy afflictions, which are unsavory without salt, It will preserve thy heart, which corrupts if salt be absent, and it will kill thy sins, even as salt kills reptiles. Thou needest much, seek much, and have much. All right, let's get into our reading for this morning. We're going to start with 2 Chronicles 14. So Abiha slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, became king in his place. The land was quiet for 10 years during his days. And Asa did what was good and right in the sight of Yahweh his God. For he removed the foreign altars and high places, shattered the sacred pillars, cut the Asherim in pieces, and said for Judah to seek Yahweh, the God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fortified cities in Judah, since the land was quiet, and there was no one at war with him during those years, because Yahweh had given him rest. And he said to Judah, "Let us build these cities and surround them with walls and towers, gates and bars. The land is still ours because we have sought Yahweh our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side." So they built and succeeded. Now Asa had a military force of 300,000 from Judah, bearing large shields and spears, and 280,000 from Benjamin, bearing shields and wielding bows. All of them were mighty men of valor. Then Zerah the Ethiopian went out against them with a military force of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, and he came to Maresha. So Asa went out to meet him, and they arranged themselves for a battle in the valley of Zephatha at Maresha. Then Asa called to Yahweh his God and said, "Yahweh, there is no one besides you to help in the battle between those of abundant power and those who have no power. So help us, O Yahweh our God, for we lean on you, and in your name have come against this multitude. O Yahweh, you are our God. Let not mortal man prevail against you." So Yahweh smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them as far as Gerar. And so many Ethiopians fell that they could not recover, for they were shattered before Yahweh and before his army. And they carried away very much spoil, and they struck down all the cities around Gerar. For the dread of Yahweh had fallen on them, and they plundered all the cities, for there was much plunder in them. They also struck down those who owned livestock, and they carried away large numbers of sheep and camels. Then they returned to Jerusalem. All right, 2 Chronicles 15, and I'm going to get some water. All right, 2 Chronicles 15. Now the Spirit of God came on Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. Yahweh is with you when you are with him, and if you seek him, he will be found. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Now for many days Israel was without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But in their distress they turned to Yahweh, the God of Israel, and they searched for him, and he was found by them. Now in those times there was no peace to him who went out or to him who came in, for much confusion was upon all the inhabitants of the land. And nation was crushed by nation, and city by city, for God threw them into confusion with every kind of distress. But you be strong, and do not let your hands fall limp, for there is reward for your work. Now when Asa heard these words, and the prophecy which Azariah, the son of Oded the prophet, spoke, he strengthened himself, and took away the detestable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and from the cities which he had captured in the hill country of Ephraim. He then renewed the altar of Yahweh, which was in front of the porch of Yahweh. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and those from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, who sojourned with them. For many defected to him from Israel, when they saw that Yahweh his God was with him. So they assembled at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of Asa's reign. And they sacrificed to Yahweh that day 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep from the spoil they had brought. They entered into the covenant to seek Yahweh, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and soul. And whoever would not seek Yahweh, the God of Israel, should be put to death, whether small or great, man or woman. Moreover, they swore an oath to Yahweh with a loud voice, with shouting, with trumpets, and with horns. All Judah was glad concerning the oath, for they had sworn with their whole heart and had searched for him with all their desire, and he was found by them. So Yahweh gave them rest on every side. He also removed Maacah, the mother of King Asa, from being queen mother, because she had made a horrid image as an Asherah. And Asa cut down her horrid image, crushed it, and burned it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was wholly devoted all his days. And he brought into the house of God the holy things of his father, and his own holy things, silver and gold and utensils. And there was no more war until the 35th year of Asa's reign. All right, now Revelation 4. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and the one sitting on the throne, and he who was sitting was like a jasper stone, and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon those thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. And out from the throne come flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal, and in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. And the first creature was like a lion, and the second creature like a calf. And the third creature had a face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come." And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created." All right, and now Haggai 2. On the 21st of the seventh month, the word of Yahweh came by the hand of Haggai the prophet, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Who among you remains who saw this house in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem like nothing in your eyes? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares Yahweh. Be strong also, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all people of the land. Be strong, declares Yahweh, and work, for I am with you, declares Yahweh of hosts. As for the promise which I cut with you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit is standing in your midst. Do not fear. For thus says Yahweh of hosts, once more in a little while I am going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea also and the dry land. And I will shake all the nations, and they will come with the desirable things of all nations. And I will fill this house with glory, says Yahweh of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares Yahweh of hosts. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says Yahweh of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares Yahweh of hosts. On the 24th of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of Yahweh came to Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus says Yahweh of hosts, ask now the priests about the law. If a man carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches bread with this fold or cooked food, wine, oil, or any other food, will it become holy? And the priests answered, no. Then Haggai said, if one who is unclean from a corpse touches any of these, will the latter become unclean? And the priests answer, it will become unclean. Then Haggai answered and said, so is the people, and so is this nation before me, declares Yahweh, and so is every work of their hands, and what they bring near to me, that there is unclean. But now, O set your heart to consider from this day onward, from before one stone was set on another in the temple of Yahweh, from when it was that one came to a grain heap of 20 measures, then there would be only 10, and from when one came to the wine vat to draw 50 troughs full, then there would be only 20. I struck you and every work of your hands with scorching wind, mildew, and hail, yet you did not come back to me, declares Yahweh. Oh, set your heart to consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day when the temple of Yahweh was founded. Set your heart to consider, is the seed still in the barn? Even including the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree, it has not borne fruit. Yet from this day on, I will bless you. Then the word of Yahweh came a second time to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the thrones of kingdoms and destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations. And I will overthrow the chariots and their riders, and the horses and their riders will go down, everyone by the sword of another. On that day, declares Yahweh of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant, declares Yahweh, and I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares Yahweh of hosts. And now John chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which has been born of the flesh is flesh, and that which has been born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound. But do you know where it comes from? But do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who has been born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness of what we have seen, and you do not accept our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Excuse me. And no one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been done by God. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he was spending time with them and baptizing. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salem, because there was much water there. And people were coming and were being baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Therefore there arose a debate between John's disciples and a Jew about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have borne witness, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and bears witness, and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all, for he is of the earth, Sorry. He who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. What he has seen and heard, of that he bears witness, and no one receives his witness. He who has received his witness has set his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. All right, let's go ahead and close in prayer. We're going to close with a prayer called The Infinite and the Finite. Let's pray. How great I am. Fill my mind with elevation and grandeur at the thought of a being with whom one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. A mighty God who amidst the lapse of worlds and the revolutions of empires feels no variableness, but is glorious in immortality. May I rejoice that while men die, the Lord lives, that while all creatures are broken reeds, empty cisterns, fading flowers, withering grass, he is the rock of ages, the fountain of living waters. Turn my heart from vanity, from dissatisfactions, from uncertainties of the present state, to an eternal interest in Christ. Let me remember that life is short and unforeseen, and is only an opportunity for usefulness. Give me a holy avarice to redeem the time, to awake at every call to charity and piety, so that I may feed the hungry, clothe the naked, instruct the ignorant, reclaim the vicious, forgive the offender, diffuse the gospel, show neighborly love to all. Let me live a life of self-distrust, dependence on thyself, mortification, crucifixion, prayer. Amen. All right. Well, that is our reading for this morning. I hope you go out and have yourself a wonderful day and that you do all that you do for the glory of God. And God willing, I'll see you this evening. Have a good one. God bless. Welcome to the evening segment of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. Good evening and welcome to the evening segment of the December 13th, 2022 episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I am Wayne Floyd, your host, and we are going to go ahead and continue on in our studying and the Gospel of John this morning in John 1, or this evening in John 1. But we're going to go ahead and open in prayer first. The prayer we're going to open with this evening is the Awakened Sinner. The Awakened Sinner. Let's pray. O my forgetful soul, awake from thy wandering dream. Turn from chasing vanities. Look inward, forward, upward. View thyself. Reflect upon thyself. Who and what thou art. Why here? What thou must soon be. Thou art a creature of God, formed and furnished by him, lodged in a body like a shepherd in his tent. Dost thou not desire to know God's way? O God, thou injured, neglected, provoked benefactor, when I think upon thy greatness and thy goodness, I am ashamed at my insensibility. I blush to lift up my face, for I have foolishly erred. Shall I go on neglecting thee, when every one of thy rational creatures should love thee and take every care to please thee? I confess that thou hast not been in all my thoughts, that the knowledge of thyself as the end of my being has been strangely overlooked, that I have never seriously considered my heart need, but although my mind is perplexed and divided, my nature perverse, yet my secret disposition still desire thee. Let me not delay to come to thee. Break the fatal enchantment that binds my evil affections, and bring me to a happy mind that rests in thee. For thou hast made me, and canst not forget me. Let thy Spirit teach me the vital lessons of Christ, for I am slow to learn, and hear thou my broken cries. Amen. All right, now our evening devotion for today. The text for it is Isaiah 54:12. I will make the windows of agates. The church is most instructively symbolized by a building erected by heavenly power and designed by divine skill. Such a spiritual house must not be dark, for the Israelites had light in their dwellings. There must therefore be windows to let the light in and to allow the inhabitants to gaze abroad. These windows are precious as agates, the ways in which the church beholds her Lord and heaven, and spiritual truth in general, are to be had in the highest esteem. Agates are not the most transparent of gems. They are but semi-pellucid at the best. Our knowledge of that life is small. Our eye of faith is dim. Faith is one of these precious agate windows, but alas, it is often so misty and beclouded that we see but darkly and mistake much that we do see. Yet if we cannot gaze through windows of diamonds and know even as we are known, it is a glorious thing to behold the altogether lovely one, even though the glass be hazy as the agate. Experience is another of these dim but precious windows, yielding to us a subdued religious light in which we see the sufferings of the man of sorrows. Through our own afflictions, our weak eyes could not endure windows of transparent glass to let in the Master's glory. But when they are dimmed with weeping, the beams of the Sun of Righteousness are tempered and shine through the windows of agate with a soft radiance, inexpressibly soothing to tempted souls. Sanctification, as it conforms us to our Lord, is another agate window. Only as we become heavenly can we comprehend heavenly things. The pure in heart see a pure God. Those who are like Jesus see him as he is, because we are so little like him. The window is but agate, because we are somewhat like him. It is agate. We thank God for what we have, and long for more. When shall we see God and Jesus and heaven and truth face to face? Excuse me. All right. We're going to go ahead and get back into our study in John 1, and I'm going to take a drink of water real quick. Okay. So, as we dealt with last evening, we dealt with John 1, verses 1 and 2, and we dealt with the Word. And one of the things, you know, as important as it was to grasp that John, that the Apostle John was showing us the deity of Christ through his his preexistence, and as important as that is and how that ties into the overall purpose of John, of the Gospel of John, it's still what I seem to miss the first time I went through here, and more I see it as we go back through it, is that the hope we have to have as Christians, the hope we have to have in the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I mean, there is so much proof. This is not, and many over the years have tried to de-deify, to remove the deity of Christ, to turn him into you and me. And it's just not so. So I continue to see that as we move along. And so again, this evening, we're going to talk about other evidences that Christ is deity, that he is truly God. He is truly man and he is truly God. Or maybe getting this backward. I was going to say R.C. Sproul used to say, but he may have said truly God, truly man, but also fully God and fully man. He's both. He's fully both, because too many people want to see him as just a man. But so we're going to go on this evening in John 1, 3 through 5. So I'm going to start from verse 1, and we'll just read the first 5 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. So, like I said, verses 1 and 2, we saw the pre-existence of Jesus. We saw the pre-existence of the Word. Existed before the foundation of the world. Existed before the foundation of the universe. Existed with God. That he was with God in that relationship, that close bond that you and I can't understand, in perfect synchronization in their minds and their will. But then also that the Word was God, that he was God himself. He was God incarnate. And again, verse 2 restates that he was in the beginning with God. He was there in the beginning. And we talked about it, that it's the Greek there is the beginning before, the very, very, very beginning. It's the same kind of phraseology that is used in Genesis 1. And we talked about the word was in here. It's talking about happened before and is continuing to happen. So we get into verse 3 here. And verses 3 and 4. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life. So in this case, well, verse 3, we see the creative power. We see the creative power of the word. And I mentioned that last evening. This verse is simple. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. It makes really, really clear that Christ was the instrument that God used to bring all things into being. Christ did it. Christ created it. God created it through Christ. That apart from Christ, nothing came into being. And we do want to look at a difference. So a difference in words. So we talked about in the beginning was the word. That word was there was aemi. We talked about that and what the meaning of it was there. Well, we see here in talking about being, was as a form of being, all things came into being through him. The word used there is genomai, which denotes being created. Very, very distinct difference. And as I indicated, many have tried to imply Jesus was a created being. But if so, why did John not use genomai in verse 1 and not use aemi here in verse 3? And the answer is clear. Because please don't misunderstand. Please don't think that this was just the author randomly picking words to use as he wrote this. God is not that careless. Please don't ever mistake God for being careless. Please don't ever mistake his use of these human authors as being careless. The specific words are used at the specific times for specific reasons. And in this case, the answer is clear. And this dichotomy solidifies that Jesus Christ is not a created being. The reason aemi was used in verses 1 and 2 was an indication that he was there before creation. He was there before all was created. Whereas genomai is an indication of being created. These things, all things coming into being, being created through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Which again shows his deity through the creative power that was manifested through him. And like I said, how confident should we be in the fact that our Savior, our Lord and Savior, was the instrumental means that God used to create the universe? How amazing is that? I mean, it should just blow the mind. And so, you know, he was God incarnate. He wasn't just some guy. He wasn't just some carpenter's son from Nazareth. He was God incarnate. And we can't forget that. It becomes really easy to forget that. So, like I said, in verses 1 and 2, we see the preexistence of the word. And then in verse 3, we see the creative power. And we move on into verse 4, and we see the self-existence of the word. This is sometimes one of the terms that is used for this is the aseity of Christ. The self-existence, meaning that when it speaks of in him was life, and I'm trying to think the best way to say this, in him was life. The life indicated here is an indication of Christ having life in himself as God does, meaning that life that he has comes from within him. It's not something somebody else gave him. The life you and I have, it was given to us. The life anything in this world has, it was given to us. Okay? That's not what's being indicated here. This is a life that comes from within Christ. This is the same same life that comes from God. So it's very, very different from what we have. And like I said, the $10,000 word is the aseity of Christ, the self-existence. But again, it continues to show his deity. So, you know, and I keep harping on the deity. And you know, it's like, so why are you doing that? And why did John? Why was that the crux of this gospel? Well, it was to show that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. I mean, this is a core tenet of our faith. This is a non-negotiable. I'm sorry, we cannot be equally yoked with somebody who goes against the deity of Jesus Christ, goes against the fact that he was fully God and fully man. This is one that if you do not believe in the deity of Christ, you do not have a saving faith in Christ. You are not saved, and you will face God's wrath on judgment day. This isn't one of those negotiable ones. Baptism. I believe in believer's baptism. I believe that is what the Bible teaches, but I can stand side by side with my Presbyterian brothers and sisters who believe in paedo baptism. I may disagree with them and we may have arguments about it, but we both hold to the deity of Christ. We both hold to the fact that Christ was God incarnate. It's a non-negotiable, and we have to hold to it, and we've got to understand it. We've got to know what we're doing here. So again, we've been talking about these things explaining the deity. This is the apologetic purpose of this. It's showing us, it's proving to us truly that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. The Messiah had to be deity. The Messiah, the Savior, the Christ could not be anything fully human, and that is all. It had to be spiritual. The Savior had to be spiritual. The Savior had to be God. Had to be. So that apologetic purpose, that's critical, and that's why John does that. But then he moves on into the evangelistic purpose of it and speaks of it here in the end of chapter 4 or verse 4 and into verse 5. It goes on. And so in him was life. That's speaking of the aseity, the self-existence. And then it goes on. And the life was the light of men. That life that bubbled out from Christ, it's also speaking of that life that he provides to us, that eternal life. That is our hope. That is the light of men. And Christ brought it. Christ provides it. Christ, through his death and his resurrection defeated death and defeated death for all who would believe. It was the light of men. And that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. And I'm sorry, if you can't look out in the world around you and see darkness, I got to worry about you. I mean, I got to worry about myself if I look out and don't see darkness. And honestly, that's why less and less will I sit there and sit with news programs on. my wife and I will take the time. I may read through an article here and there to try to make sure I, in general, know what's going on around me. But I'm not going to sit there with news shows on for 3, 4, 5 hours a day. I won't even let it sit on for a couple hours at night. I just can't take it. That is too much darkness. And I'm not trying to be, you know, an ostrich and sticking my head in the sand. That's not it. But for me to maintain my Christian walk, for me to truly manifest the hope that comes from the light that shines in the darkness, that light that comes from Christ, that life that was the light of men, that life that shines from Christ, that eternal life, I cannot let myself get buried in the darkness of this world. But we have to know the darkness did not overtake it. The light wins. If you didn't know, the light wins. You know, Christ won. Christ, on dying, taking the punishment for our sin, and then being resurrected, he won the war. That's it. Satan's going to do any and everything he can, but Christ won the war. God won the war. We still have to battle. We talked about at the end of Ephesians there, putting on the full armor of God and taking our position in the battle line. and you know, putting on all the five pieces of armor, pulling out the sword of truth, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, and taking our knee and praying and holding our line. We got to continue to battle. But the darkness does not overtake the light that comes from Christ, that light that comes from the eternal life, that hope that is ours. And in this world needs the hope. You can't look around you and not realize that there is no hope in this world. There is no hope in this world. The fact is, suicide rates are skyrocketing. We've got cultures that are turning around and bringing on euthanasia for people that have no hope. So it's not even suicide. Well, it basically is assisted suicide at that point, though they claim it's euthanasia. And I'm talking teenagers that can't find a girlfriend, so they want to be euthanized. Does that not show the darkness of this world? But the light of Christ shines through it and is not overtaken by it. But with that being said, that means you and I have got to shine that light. We've got to bring the gospel. We've got to bring them the gospel of John. We've got to bring them the gospel as a whole. And we have to shine that light in this world. And we have to, again, we've got to grasp what John has been saying here. We have to grasp that deity of Christ. And we have to grasp hold of that and stand firm on that hope that is in the fact that our Savior is God. Our Savior is God incarnate. He is fully God and fully man. Therefore, he accomplished everything he had to accomplish because he could do no other. And therefore, our salvation was provided for. And his life, the eternal life, was the light of men. That is the light we have to look out and at the end of the tunnel, see that light and know that no matter what the darkness throws at us, no matter what Satan throws at us, the light's there at the end of the tunnel, and the darkness will not snuff it out. We have to share that truth. We have to do that. We have to be the light of the world. We have to shine that light. We're called to, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, we're called to make disciples of all nations. So we got to get about it. And the way we do it in this dark, dark, dark world is to take this hope out to them. And how can we not do other? With Jesus Christ willingly going to the cross and taking the punishment for all of our sins. An eternity of punishment in those moments to provide for our salvation. How can we not do other? And to do that, we've got to grab hold of this that John is showing us, that Jesus is deity, that he is the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. And because of that, he did all he needed to do. And his life was our light, that light at the end of the tunnel. And we have got to show it in this world. We have got to shine that light through this world. All right, let's go ahead and close in prayer. As is our practice on Tuesdays, we're going to go ahead and close with the third day evening prayer. That's called Before Sleep. Out of all sovereignty, thy greatness is unsearchable, thy name most excellent, thy glory above the heavens. 10,000 minister to thee, 10,000 times 10,000 stand before thee. In thy awful presence, we are less than nothing. We do not approach thee because we deserve thy notice, for we are sinners. Our necessities compel us. Thy promises encourage us. Our broken hearts incite us. The mediator draws us. Thy acceptance of others moves us. Look thou upon us and be merciful unto us. Convince us of the penalty and pollution of sin. Give us faith to believe and believe and believing to have life in Jesus. May we enter into his sufferings. Let us see thy hand in the instruments of our grief, rejoicing that they are from thy overruling providence. Let not our weeping hinder sowing, nor sorrow duty. While living in a world of change, let us seek the abiding city. Be with us to our journey's end, that we may glorify thee in death as in life. We bless thee for preservation, supplies, mercies, and to thee, keeper of souls, we commit all we are and have. May no evil befall us, no sickness come nigh us, no horror disturb us. May our conscience be clear, our hearts pure, our sleep sweet, and with the innumerable company who neither slumber nor rest, we join in ascribing blessing, honor, glory, and power to the Lamb upon the throne forever and ever. Amen. Excuse me. All right. Well, that is our time for this evening. I hope you have a wonderful evening and a good night's sleep. And God willing, I will see you tomorrow morning. Have a good one. God bless.